Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby, episode 78 of the Kicks and Shit Show.
Sheesh!
Yeah.
I feel like I gotta fill the silence.
You're like, too much silence, and you don't know what to do with it. You're like, this is somewhat problematic, you know, all that. Gabby, how was your Thanksgiving?
My holiday was great. Okay. I feel like We were in Brooklyn with the family. I just feel like calling it Thanksgiving. I don't know. It's to me,
Thanksgiving break, like that time
any
period.
Any break from work to me is always welcome. And I say that, I caveat that because I love my job. I love what I do.
And you're happy to have a job.
And also that, I'm very happy I have a job, let alone one that is very fulfilling for me on a lot of levels. But your girl needed a break. I mean, it's funny, this raspiness that I have that's more exaggerated than normal. It sounds like I was either partying or I'm sick. Yeah. And I'm neither of those things. I feel well-rested, like fit as a fiddle.
Okay, right now, what we're doing with all of these things is clearly dating ourselves, because no one under the age of 35 says fit as a fiddle.
Remembering fucking phrase, I don't fucking know, but I feel great. I was very happy to have a couple days off to reset and recharge, and so for me, that was very welcome. Then, you know, Thanksgiving in Brooklyn was a new experience, especially for my conservative Jewish parents, you know, that don't really know much about Brooklyn, so that was an experience.
You were at your brother's, I assume.
No, we actually we went to a restaurant
that
had turkey. There was a lot of, I will say, the Rosenthal family, like, you know me, I'm pretty easy. Like, I like what I like, but for the most part, like, I can find what I like anywhere. My brother, on the other hand, bless his heart, then wants turkey but doesn't want to entertain anyone. And I'm like, all right, so, and I'm gluten-free, so I'm trying to find a restaurant that has all those things. I feel like those, like, Amex Rewards commercials, trying to find everybody's prerequisite and requirement. Oh, and, like, it made perfect sense for me to leave Hoboken to go down the shore just to come up to Brooklyn same day. You know, like, gotta love family planning, because they wanted me to ride in the car with them.
I mean, well, they could have come and picked you up on the way.
And I could have driven down afterwards with my perfectly capable vehicle. Totally agree. But, you know, family stuff is always wild on the holidays, like, for everyone. No matter how, like, boring and whatever your family, my family is far from boring. But no matter how vanilla your family is, there's always some kind of family. And my parents said, you know, if you drive to us first, instead of watching a movie after we get back, we will put on football. And I was like, I just can't wait for Stephen A. to laugh when the Cowboys lose. That's what I was looking forward for the most. I was very thankful for that.
You were thankful for some Cowboys losing. So now, do you have that situation where, at least for me, I mean, I don't have to do that for this particular Thanksgiving, but it is something of, you know, that is happening now, that we are of a certain age and our parents are aging, where it gets to the point where they're like, they feel more comfortable with you driving somewhere, particularly as it gets later at night and they don't really know where they're going. And it's like, I'm not really, you know, that kind of thing. Are you in that phase yet? You're getting close to that phase?
We are, what is the term, languishing right now? We're floundering. I don't know what phase we're in. We are like one confused clam bake over here at the Rosenthal clan. Like, my parents want me to come down so I have the option to drive, yet my dad never lets me drive. He would rather eat like a bag of chocolate on the way down than let me drive for some reason. And also, like, they have GPS in the car,
right?
Finally, but like, not the Garmin that's attached.
Right.
My mom still prints out her MapQuest directions just in case, which I'm like, Mom,
just in case what?
Yeah, exactly. Just in case all power goes down on all electronics and cell phones and Waze stops working. So that's the best part, right? Is that they have GPS, and then they still, my dad will be like 20 minutes away. My dad will be like, can you turn on that thing that you have on your phone, the Waze, the GPS thing? And I'm like, so we have two GPSs and a printed out map. Explain to me the efficiency here. Like, just let me drive. Just let me be behind the wheel and, like, let me run shit my own way.
It is.
It's like I said, it's a comedy in the Rosenthal household. I love my family, but it's wild times always.
But what I think it is, though, Gabby, is truthfully, and everyone can sort of appreciate this who has parents still living with them, like, when you're of a certain age, right, like, you're a fully fledged adult, right? And it's not like you're an 18 adult. It's like, no, like, you're...
But
you know what I mean, right? Like, you live a life where you're like, Mom and Dad, you do realize that I travel all over the world on my own and know exactly what I'm doing and don't, like, right? Like, but you get in a car with them and it's like, no, you don't know. And it's like, no, you don't know. Like, let me explain to you.
Parents on top of that, like, every time I travel, make sure you text us when you get there. Leave enough time. You think I don't know what time I need to be there to check my bags at this point? Oh my, Jenna? No, I'm kidding. I don't identify the way. For you guys who are new to our show or might not know this, when I met Gerard, I was at All Star with his co-host of Seven Footers podcast, Jenna Lemoncelli. And Jenna did not tell your girl Gabby, who I might seem cool and calm and collected, but like I'm very type A. I'm a planner.
Little type A, has to know everything at all times. It must be, you know.
I like to know shit because then I can decide shit. So Jenna did not tell me that she has missed her flight every year from All Star. I mean, I feel like we'd be trending in that direction if I knew, right? But no, we missed the flight and goes, oh, well, it's fine. We'll just go on standby. We also had connecting flights, which makes my anxiety spike. Can't even speak. It's getting me so anxious even just thinking about it. But I have learned since that incident that you do have to be there at least an hour before your flight if you're checking a bag. So thank you, Jenna, for making my travels more efficient in this trying time.
And by the way, clearly work mode is still on because I'm still hearing email pings and chimes over there. It's happening. We are deep in the work setting.
I think so. I close out of Teams, Gerard. You know, work never stops. What do you always say? Work continues.
The work continues. Tell me about it.
Closing out of Outlook just for you, Gerard.
I appreciate that. You know, Gabby. Oh, my Thanksgiving was great. It was lovely spending time.
I'm just going to get into it without me asking you to, my friend. I know all about your Thanksgiving.
It was lovely. We were right across the river in New Jersey at my aunt's home. It was lovely. The whole fam was there. My cousins have children, very small babies. One is two. One is literally 2 months old. So it was very, you know,
middle of the couple.
Yeah, fresh ones, fresh out the oven. So, no, it was a good time. Always great to see family, especially after the last couple of years with COVID and everything and not having it in person. I mean, we did a Thanksgiving and Christmas like via Zoom, but like, you know, that's not. So it was nice to get everybody, of course, fully vaxxed, and actually a good portion of us not only fully vaxxed, but also boosted as well. So it was lovely to see everybody. And I always, as you know, this is my favorite time of year, my birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, everything in between. It's just a lovely time to end the year and see people and enjoy friends and family and the things that matter, right? So that was cool. And then it was nice to kind of just sort of like, you know, chill a little bit and, you know, kind of gear up. Because while it's kind of turning down in some ways, these last 4 weeks of December, like from work purposes, is like, all right, like, you know, it's like full steam ahead, probably till about, I don't know, the 18th, 19th, somewhere around there. Then clients and different people start like, 23rd. or 23rd, depending on your clients, right? They start sort of like downshifting. I mean, you're lucky if you have clients who are like in Europe, they may be on holiday very early, you're kind of lucky, but you know, this is the time anyway. So it was nice. I enjoyed it. And you know, Gabby, it's been a, you know, while we're all extremely thankful and enjoying the different things that we had, you know, you cannot escape sad news and sadness in the world, right? I mean, it's the nature of life. You know, by the time that this recording comes out, it will already have been a week past since, but we had to spend some time talking about the recent passing of Virgil Abloh at 41 years old, who suffered from a rare, super aggressive form of cancer, which he was battling in private that, you know, most people, aside from his family, did not know about, right? The public, the world, we, the consumers who consume his goods and know what he does. We were not privy to that until this past weekend. And, you know, it kind of rocked, obviously, the sneaker, fashion, sport, entertainment, so many people who are touched by Virgil. You know, you scroll through Instagram, it's not, you know, obviously the people like the Kanyes and all that, but actors and models, Amber Valletta, so many different people who Virgil touched, tennis players, Alina Svitolina and Gail Monfils, who were recently married. Virgil designed Alina's dress for the wedding, right? So, like, I mean, all these things, and like, it just touched so many people in so many different ways. And obviously, you know, we talk about Virgil a ton, his Off-White label, the different things he's done with Nike, of course, and Jordan Brand. It was a shock, I think, to everybody. What were your sort of reactions when you found out the news? I assume it was on social, like almost everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I found it on Twitter, and I think, you know, with Chadwick Boseman and now Virgil, hearing these stories of these powerful, creative, iconic forces in pop culture and in our society going through these private battles, as someone who's a cancer survivor, I'm very fortunate to come out of my battle, but I never talked about it. They hit me a little bit differently, right? And I just think it's so tragic. And the amount that they're able to accomplish and make it to control the narrative of their lives, I think is really beautiful. Like I said, I think it was shocking. I had people reach out to me that were like, oh my God, Virgil was supposed to be renting my house in Miami for Basel. And, you know, this is happening and that's happening. I think it's shocking on so many levels. Especially because he's so young, right? Yeah, I think like when we talked about Kobe, when we talked about Chadwick, like those are young people like that haven't gotten to experience their full lifespan compared to others, right? And I think that's what makes it extra shocking and devastating. And these are, like I said, these are cultural icons, not just in the respective fields, but across the board, right?
For sure.
And I think, you know, obviously we relate everything to sneakers. To me, it's very fascinating watching the resale prices and the resale market. Like,
I was actually saying, Gabby, I hope that, like, but I mean, that was wishful thinking on my part. I hope that, like, people didn't use this as an opportunity to be assholes and, you know, literally, like, all of a sudden now turn this into, oh, I got this Virgil level, whatever. It's now cost you 50x the result. I just don't, like, come on. Like, this is just not the space for that.
Like, I have my list of sneakers on all the different apps that I'm watching constantly to see what the resale price is. And, you know, the women's sale Off-White 4s were ones that I never got my hands on, but I've always been kind of watching. And to see that those have spiked up to, like, $1,500 a pop, I mean, it feels icky, right? Like, there's no other way to describe it.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Like,
the fact that even after and not the same by any means, but after the Houston Astro World, that like Travis Scott prices spiked, like it's
gross.
That is where there's such a negative stigma and negativity around the resale market and kind of this modern day sneaker culture, right? Like same thing happened with Kobe, right? And I think that Vanessa had a great, like a tight lock on that for good reason. It's hard to watch all of that happen. And I think like it's not coming from a place of homage. It's coming from a place of people that just want to capitalize on a cultural moment.
Oh, it's from a place of greed, right? I mean, this is what capitalism is, right? It is literally, ooh, here's an opportunity for me to now. First of all, as you know, those, you know, I'll talk about the powder blue Jordan 1 Off-Whites that I love, right? Like they were already well over $1,000, right, on the secondary market, well above what the retail price of them were. I can't imagine what they are right now. People are literally doing it from the position of how can I take advantage and capitalize on a moment, right? To your point, a cultural moment. This was someone, again, an icon designer, someone who really pushed the boundaries of what we considered high fashion and what's luxury, what's haute couture. Like, I mean, the different things that he's designed for so many different people. This was a true legend. And what I enjoyed about Virgil and Chadwick, as you mentioned him, and it's cliche, but this is why people say the things they do in terms of you live every day of your life to its fullest possible capabilities, right? And it's not, look, every day isn't going to be puppy dogs and ice cream because that's just not how life works, right? Sometimes shit just sucks because it just does, okay? But you choose the way in which you react and the way in which you handle, right? Can I let it take me down and wallow forever? Sure, you can. It's your right. You can do that. Or am I going to take whatever situation, try to turn it into a positive, right? And that is when you have... And that's what knowing not having time does for you, right? When you're someone like Virgil who knew this was happening and knew, yeah, this is going to kill me and I'm going to die, right? That gives you a certain clarity that most of us don't have because no one knows when your end date is, right? But when you know, yeah, I don't have much longer to live, it gives you focus, right? And there's something from that we can all take, right? The idea of don't waste time. Right. Enjoy, live life, spend it with your loved ones. But if there's something you want to do, make sure you're putting the energies towards doing it, spreading love, spreading positivity, whatever it may be, to make sure that, again, you are living life to the fullest possible extent that you can.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I think it's interesting that you talk about that perspective, right? Because recently I watched the Showtime Kevin Garnett documentary as well, right? Anything is possible. And I think for me, it's a similar message, right? That life is not peaches and sunshine or ice cream and puppy dogs, as you so eloquently put. But that's what makes you appreciate those moments. And it gives you a different perspective that, like, life is about the work, the journey, the impact that you're leaving, right? It's all about those pieces. And I think that, like I said, I've used this word before, but that's what makes their stories really beautiful, is that it's about the journey. And they didn't let other narratives consume who they were, right? And what they wanted to accomplish. I think perspective is a very fascinating thing and comes in different ways. I think knowing that, I agree with you, there's a different level of grounding. I know even for me, like, and this is not about me, but I see things differently because of the experiences that I have. I think that's true with everyone. And the stuff that you hold close to you is what, you know, you never know what people are going through, but it's that outward story, right? I think that the part that was most beautiful is that they were in control of that narrative.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
They weren't defined by what they were going through or their circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think that we can all take a lesson and a nod from that.
100%. I mean, right? Virgil lived, he was the author of his own fate in that way, right? Like, and that's the thing. You have that control of your life in that way up to a certain point, right? Yeah. Like, he knew, okay, I'm not going to be here until I'm 100 years old. I'm going to just, until the day that I'm done, I'm going to do everything I can. And that's how he lived his life. And again, everyone who's talked and who was not privy to this, they all said, wow, you would never know, right? That's how he lived it. And of course, our condolences go out to his wife, his young child. I mean, like, he's a husband, a father. Like, I mean, that's the thing about this. It's like, okay, we're not going to get shoes anymore. Like, whatever. That's way down the list of, like, you know, things that matter. Like, his family is grieving right now. That's, you know, they lost someone. You know, that's the thing about public figures, right? Like, they mean something far different to us than they do to their family members and those that are close to them, right? Because he's not all those things to them. Like, as I said, he is their husband, their brother, their son, their father, right? Those are the things that matter. And ultimately, like, right, that's what matters for all of us.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, the reason that we hear these stories is because they are thinking about their legacy, right? That it's like when people said that no one was bigger than basketball and then Kobe happened, right? There are things that are bigger than their means, than their circumstance, than their job, you know? And I think it's all about the legacy at the end of the day. And I think, you know, to your point, Gerard, it's not just a legacy in terms of cutting edge fashion, but it's a legacy with his family. Mm-hmm, so my hearts and thoughts go out to them as well.
Yeah. I mean, the world lost a true creative, you know, spark, genius, icon, all the things. I mean, and so rest in peace, Virgil Abloh. And of course, again, condolences to his family. I'll be curious to see, not so much the secondary market, because we just talked about that and that disgusting situation. I know that LVHM talked about, you know, what they're going to be doing in terms of debuting his collection, his spring collection. That was, you know, he's supposed to be around to do that. So that will be something that they put out, because obviously those pieces are already designed, and they'll, you know, do a way in which to honor him. I believe at Art Basel, if I'm not mistaken, but, you know, don't quote me on that. And then I'll be curious to see what brands like Jordan Brand and Nike do around this news. You know, like, I don't know what, and I don't even know what would be a good idea or not. I have no idea what any of those things would be, but I'm curious to see how those brands and companies that he's worked with and partner with, what they decide to ultimately do, if anything.
No, and I think, like, right now, those brands have taken the first step, right? Like, I actually heard about the announcement of Virgil through a tweet that was shared by LVMH, right?
Mm-hmm. Did I say LVHM? That's LVMH. I transposed my letters, but you knew what I meant.
Okay, it's a fun day after holiday weekend, Jay. You're good. And then I think Nike, on their sneakers app earlier today, you know, they just had a really beautiful photo of him, and you scroll and then you can tap through in the way that they do to see his story and more about him and who he was and his legacy that he left behind and how he inspired those. So I think it'll be interesting, to your point, to see what happens. But I do think, like, brands are being smart and laying low right now, because it it's unfortunate that it comes across this way, even when it's not meant to be that way, but anything else feels self-serving aside from honoring and posting about memoriam, right? Yes. I think if I'd be interested to see if Nike or LVMH does something where they donate to a foundation or a cause that helps with research around the disease that he had.
Yeah.
Young aspiring designers. Mm-hmm. I think to me that feels more of like an appropriate lane if they do things. But I mean, we'll see what happens.
A Virgil Abloh scholarship or something like that, right? Like those are the kinds of things we see.
Profit.
That we see happening. So again, RIP to Virgil Abloh. Transitioning, Gabby, we talked about Thanksgiving, and obviously we are in holiday season. And you know that around this time of year, we have a lot of holiday releases of sneakers. You know, Jordan usually does an 11, and you know, we've already kind of talked about that a bit, but are you looking forward to anything this holiday season in terms of releases? Are you going to lay low? What's the vibe for you this holiday sneaker season?
My vibe changes all the time, Jay. I'm going to be honest with you. I think, you know, at the last minute, you know, I love those 11s, right? The women's release. Mm-hmm. And they're reselling right now for $350, which to me is wild. Pun not intended.
I didn't think that they would go that high. I mean, but maybe.
They did a lot of, I will say Nike and Jordan Brand and even some of the retail partners like Snipes, they did a bunch of, like, I don't want to call it last minute because we all know it's not last minute, but like close to launch PR support and influencer marketing that I think really kind of boosted the appeal, talked about the storytelling behind the pairs, early seeding, things like that. I think for me, I love them. I'm debating about the resale. That just seems pretty high. But also the price tag on those was $220, right? So it wasn't a low price point to begin with. I think, you know, obviously the cool gray in all family sizes, well, the 11s. Mm-hmm. I'm loving that this Golden Gals collection of metallic shoes, both in like Dunks and Air Maxes. Like that's something for me, the women's Dunk Low.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to because it's a little bit of a remix. I like those pairs that feel a little bit more special or a little bit less likely to get retroed. Maybe they fly a little under the radar. Maybe they don't, but I hope they do. I'm also still really into, depending on if they're still launching on time because everything has been pushed. We are in a place of scarcity currently.
Also supply chain issues.
Yeah, I mean, I love the bread patent ones. So online for those. I love the way that they remixed it and the way that they did the shattered backboard a couple years ago as well.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot of good stuff out there. I think for me, you know, the pine green Jordan 3s, I saw those, and they released those in family sizes. Those were pretty nice. A Jordan 5 also was released recently around this time. That looked pretty cool, too. I mean, for the most part, I think I'm going to lay low. You know, I was thinking about, prior to this awful news, I was like, you know, maybe I will treat myself and try to find those off-white Jordan 1s and powder blue, you know, but now forget it. You know, that's one of the things, right? It's like,
I think that you deserve it. I also think it's an homage, right?
Yeah, but it's also like, I'm not spending that kind of money on it now.
But see what it is, right? I think, you know, it's something that you've talked about for a while, so I do think that that's very different, right? But I think that's what our former guest TJ talks about all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure that you're budgeting, and if you want to lay low and save up for your grail, like, have at it. I fully
You were like, I'm in full support of you buying all of those shoes.
Well, I mean, obviously, yes, 100% agree with that. But you know, Gerard, there are lots of Gore-Tex pairs and weatherproof pairs. You get All-Star in Cleveland 2022, if it happens.
Listen,
you know, it's probably not going to be so pleasant in the weather department. So I want to make sure that you are prepared and you feel like you can wear sneakers.
Pleasant in the weather department is like that's an understatement. I mean, it's going
to
be.
Polite. I don't like to talk shit on other people's cities unless there's like a true reason to do so.
There was a conversation, though. I don't know if you saw on Twitter today about, yo, why are we going to Cleveland and not Vegas for All-Star? Like, what is happening? All-Star needs to be in a warm weather city. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, what are we doing out here? I already know how you feel. I know you're like, please, Vegas, thank you.
Yeah, but I feel like until Vegas gets an NBA team, it's not necessarily going to be a destination for All-Star. Well, and I'm not saying
they already had All-Star in Vegas in 07, as you remember, which was quite the...
That's not a prerequisite for it. I do think that it'll be something on the docket. I don't know why we keep going to these cold cities. I mean, Chicago is a whole vibe, so I support that.
Chicago or New York, I don't mind for All-Star because there's things to do here and we know whatever. And, you know, but like Cleveland, come on now.
Cleveland, beautiful this time of year? I have no idea. I mean, I said nobody ever. I'm actually going to Cleveland in a couple weeks, so I am happy to report
back. Scout it out. Why don't you scout it out for us, see where the spots are, and then report back.
Yeah, SneakerCon Cleveland, here we come.
No. I think All-Star is something to look for. And that'll be interesting. I wonder if Nike and Jordan Brand do anything around Virgil for All-Star, right? Just because of what All-Star is and what that is as a platform for Nike and Jordan Brand, I'd be curious to see if they do anything there.
I mean, especially seeing the Kobe presence at All-Star 2 years ago, right, in Chicago, I think it'll be interesting to see how they bring it to life. To me, I don't think it's an if they bring it to life. I think it's
a win. Yeah.
How we honor
him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. No, it makes sense. Gabby, is there anything else in the world of sneakers and ish that you'd like to discuss?
I'm constantly looking at sneakers and Black Friday deals and Cyber Monday.
What'd you cop? You cop anything? No.
I don't cop Intel, Gerard. That's actually not true. I always cop Intel.
You cop Intel always.
Trey Youngs that I am looking at. Yeah,
you've been high on the Trey Youngs. You've been in on those for a while.
I've been eyeing them for a minute, but the only problem is with this vagabond lifestyle, and it takes 5 days to ship. Who knows where your girl's going to be if it gets delayed? I don't know. Like, do I send them to Houston? Do I send them to Cleveland, to Vegas? Maybe I'll just send them to you, Jay. You can try them on for me.
I was going to say, send them to me. I am fine to take them over here. You can send them right here, and, you know, we'll take care of it for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I'm excited to see how brands are starting to push the limit a little bit more. I know we talked a little bit about scarcity, so I think resale is really going to crush it this holiday season. I also think there's going to be less deals because there's demand for these types of things. And, you know, I think brands have looked at more releases and more deals throughout the year instead. So at least in the sneaker space, I don't see things going on crazy sales. I think Nike did like a $20 off 100, which is pretty standard for them. I also think it's interesting that they keep doing drops on the Nike app versus the sneakers app.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
to me, that's the biggest behavioral shift that I know they're working on for that halo effect, right? You go for the Dunk restock, but you stay for the leggings and the bike shorts. I mean, that's why I say.
I just pulled up StockX while we're talking here. And so, first of all, the Jordan 1s are already up flights are over $3,000. So, whatever. You know, the Jordan 3 UNC PEs that I like. So, I just see if anybody has them. Of course, there's only four pairs and it's like it's weird sizes, like 16, 12, whatever.
You got to check another lane.
Take a guess what you think they're selling for on the resale market. The Jordan 3. Player exclusive. So that's the UNC logo on the tongue.
I think like $5,000.
$4,000.
Oh, so I'm close. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No thanks.
It's like half a month of rent. So sad.
No, it's just, you know, maybe I will tap in our good friend, Chad, Sneaker Galactus at another lane and be like, Chad, what do you think you can find these for me? Maybe let's see. Yeah.
You should, Gerard. I think, you know, at a certain point, right, and I've noticed these are people who've been collecting for a while, all feel the same way. It's like, what is the next lane, right?
Yeah. Sure,
you can go after every release. I've never been that girl who goes after every release. Like, I think my most recent pickup that I got were the Pata Air Max ones in the Aqua. Love that colorway. That's my favorite. I know they're launching those. The maroons came out. They're going to be doing a black colorway. I still really feel strongly that Air Max 1 is going to be the next silhouette.
Ooh.
That becomes the dunk. I mean, I love an Air Max 1. So for me, I am very happy until it becomes too mainstream that I can't get my hands on it. So
we will see. Well, folks, thank you as always for rocking with us here on the Kicks and Shit Show. As always, you know we are part of the Count the Dings family. You can find us if you follow the Bomb Podcast feed. Of course, it's not just us. It is the original Bomb show. It is Woke Bros. It is Machiavellian Fucks. What is that, you ask? That is the Succession recap show. If you like Succession, check that out with Jason Madison, Nando Avila, and Anthony Mays. It's good stuff. You guys will enjoy that. Of course, Rap Names and Growing Up the Same. And of course, us. We are also on all social media platforms at Kicks and Shit Show. And until next time, peace.